Praise the Lord. You have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. And I want to read a verse of Scripture there, and then we're going to turn over to Psalm 62. And I've been preaching a series on surviving the darkness. And I'm not going to do a bunch of review this morning. I'm just going to get right into what the Lord is. I actually meant just to preach this one week, but it just seems like the Lord just keeps giving it to me. So I'm just going to keep on preaching it until He stops. And so maybe it's for somebody this morning. Maybe we can help somebody this morning get free this morning. And praise the Lord. The book is Isaiah chapter 50. I want to read beginning in verse 10. It said, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant?" It's interesting because Isaiah, when he begins this, he's talking about someone who is faithful to God. This is not somebody that is out in sin. It's not somebody that is away from God. This is a faithful servant. This is somebody who hears the voice of God, who's been faithful to God. And he says there, "Who obeys the voice of His servant, who walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. Look, all of you kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks which you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand, and you shall lie in torment." Turn over to Psalm 62. I want to read verses 5 and 6. One of my favorite verses of the Scripture. Actually, Psalm 62, verse 1 says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God." Verse 5 says, "My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him, and He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory." Father, we just pray Your anointing on Your Word this morning. Father, let the Word of God just be alive. Let it pierce us this morning. Let truth come forth. Father, let us put the Word out front this morning and stand behind the Word, and let us watch You work among Your people. Thank You for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, surviving the darkness. There will be a time in your life, my life, maybe you are going through it, maybe you've just come out of it, or maybe you're getting ready to go into it. There'll be a time in our lives when we walk through what we feel like is darkness. When we get into a situation to where we feel like we're walking in a place that's almost impossible. To where we feel like maybe there's not even a breakthrough. That this may be the end of us. This may be the end of and there's a press. It challenges our faith. It challenges who we are in God. It challenges our walk with God. It challenges us that which we've been told and preached to and believed in over the years. It wants us to question our faith and whether or not God is who He says He is. There will always be a time in your life, and there will be a time, when you walk through that place and it appears to be darkness. Not only can we walk through that as a person individually, but I believe there are nations that walk through seasons of darkness. I've been reading a book by Jim Cimbala called Storms. I'm about finished. It's an incredible book because he says that what's beginning to happen in America is because we've allowed certain things that have been landmarks in our country to fall down. There is a coming darkness that may be coming upon this nation that I'm not sure, unless you're a strong believer, we may have a hard time walking through it. And because there are times when God has allowed darkness to come on a nation, even when there's been righteous people inside of that nation. Even when that nation has found a few who were faithful and a few who still live for God. But yet God still allowed that darkness to fall on the nation, not because He was trying to destroy that nation, but because God wanted to get their attention, to awaken them, and to let them realize that what they have is not based on their strength, but what they have been given to them by God and by the grace of God. And I'm telling you that what this nation has always been founded on, What we've always seen in the course of history and the course of our lives is that God has always been faithful to this country. He's always protected us and watched over us. He's always guided us and given us direction. But I'm afraid that there may come a day when God may just lift his hand a little bit from this nation and we may begin to reap what we have sown the last few years in unrighteousness. All of a sudden, it may manifest itself. And if we're not strong believers, we may walk through a darkness that we're not sure we're ready to walk through. And so that darkness can come on us as a nation. It can come on us as individuals. But as we begin to walk through this, as I begin to talk about surviving the darkness, the first thing that I want us to see is that there is comfort in darkness. God does not take you through something without providing what's needed to help you get through the darkness that you're walking through. So there's a comfort in the darkness. You say, well, what's the comfort in the darkness? First of all, the first comfort that he gives us in the darkness is expectation in the darkness. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Psalm 62, it said David waited upon the Lord silently and waited upon God. And this was a time in David's life when he waited on God, when he was in a place, a dark place in his life. When he was in a place where he didn't know if God heard his prayers. Where at times in his few psalms before, he said, God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten where I was and who I am? But the Bible said, and my soul waits silently for God alone. You ever been in that place where you've had to wait on God? Where you've had to wait on God to show up and wait on God to come through, wait on God to provide what you've been praying for, wait on God to help you step in to the next step in your life, but you've walked through this difficult place and you're wondering, God, are you there? Do you see me? Do you hear me? But I'm here to declare to you that if you'll stay steadfast and wait on God, he will show up in your midst. Because that's a faithful God. David said it like this, for my expectation is from him. David didn't find it within himself. He found it in him. We find our expectation in Christ this morning. Your hope, my hope this morning is in Christ. It's not in something natural, but it's in Christ. And he said, my expectation is in him, and he alone is my rock and my salvation. For he is my defense or my shield, and I shall not be moved, it says. In the Hebrew, that word means that I will not be tottered, or I will not slip, or I will not be dislodged, or I will not be overthrown. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved, as some translations. David said, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. Doesn't matter how lonely it gets. Doesn't matter how worse it looks and how impossible the situation may be. I know that I will not be moved as long as I trust God and he is my defense. I shall not be moved. I will not come off of this thing. And you know, we've got to be like a bulldog sometimes in this world. We've got to make a decision that we will not let our circumstances move us off of what we believe, off of what we trust in, off of what we worship, off of what our convictions are and what we walk in our life. We've got to turn to a world that is lost and without God and say, I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. You will not push me off of this place of faith. You will not push me off of this place where I have to trust you. I will remain here until the Lord answers my prayer. We've got to be there as a nation. We've got to stay fast. I'm telling you, if the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, if they all decide to turn away from God, we've got to stand strong and believe that God is your salvation and that your trust is in him and in him alone. And so there's an expectation. Expectation is an incredible thing. When we begin to have an expectation for God, it means that our circumstances don't always remain the same. When we have expectation, we know there's hope. When there's expectation, we know that we can trust God and believe God. I'm here to tell you this morning that I serve a God and you serve a God who delights in excelling and outdoing himself and doing for his people. The Bible says that our God, we serve a God who does exceedingly, abundantly above that which we could ever think or thought, that God can do above what we could imagine for Him to do. In other words, we just don't serve a repetitious God. We serve a God who's always got a new idea. A God who just doesn't do overs, but he outdoes himself, and he does do betters in our life. In other words, God pushes us. What God has done for you, He's able to do more. And expectation is that which you draw towards you, or pull towards you, or pull into you. And so I just want to take a few moments and just declare, and just speak over you, and just stand here and believe this morning to let you know that I have not preached my best sermon yet here in this church. We have not yet had our best service here in this church yet. You may have not got your breakthrough yet, but it's coming. And the best miracles have not been done yet. And the best breakthroughs have not been done yet. And God has not shown Himself the best yet. And God's still going to open some doors for people that still have seemed to be impossible in people's lives. God's still going to bring breakthrough into people's life. And so I expect in the years to come and the days to come that God will do exceedingly above what we ever think that He can do. The best is not in the past, sweetheart. The best is in the future. And God wants to do more. I mean more than what we could ever expect God to do. I'm expecting God to do something great, and to do something great in my life, and your life, and all of our lives. See, in divine darkness, there's the comfort of expectation. And that expectation is what gives us hope. It's the expectation that allows us to stay and to bear the moments of those darkness. But there's also something else that we have to understand as we walk through places of darkness, or seasons of darkness in our life. And this was something that I had to learn in my own life. Because it's awful hard when you're going through it to think that this is how your life is determined to be. Or that this is how your life is supposed to be. Or that God's meant it to be this way for the rest of your life. But what we have to tell ourselves is that not only are we to live with expectation, but we're also to live in a place to where we know that what we're going through is only a season. It's only a season this morning. What you're walking through is only a season this morning. The difficulty you're going through is only a season. That temporary job, look, that you're searching for a job, it's only a season. That difficulty in your home, it's only a season. That sickness is only a season. And so we have to be sure to understand that God works in times and seasons. The Bible says to everything there is a season. There is a purpose. There is a time. Now a season is a window for God to work that would not happen at any other time. In other words, God likes to work through seasons in our life. And seasons of our life, it's not just believing that gets you out of a season of darkness. Now we say to people who are walking through, we say, well, if you'll just believe, you'll get through. Now there's an element of that. You have to trust God and believe. There's an expectation. But we also have to understand that God has got us in that season for a moment. We walk through those seasons. Now, I can believe for heat. And it's February. I can believe all I want, right? But the truth is, when I walk outside, it's February. So I can stand here and believe. Now, I will rebel sometimes and not wear a coat like it's warm outside. And I can boycott the winter, but the winter has to come. The winter has to come so that when spring gets here, there can be a new season that can begin to take place in life. And so God ordains the seasons of darkness in our life. He ordains them because the reason He does that is like we said before. So that we just don't know about God, but that we know God. That we just don't know of Him. Or that He's a distant understanding. But that God is a personal God. And sometimes the walk in the darkness that God takes us through, it allows us to develop a relationship with God that you normally would not have. To some of us, God has always been in a distance. God has always been in a place where we felt like we haven't reached Him. But God wants to be as close to you as your brother. He wants to be as close to you as your next breath. And sometimes there are seasons of darkness that God takes us through, that where we get to know God in a deeper and better way. Now here's the problem that happens. Sometimes when we get in a season in our life, either a season of darkness or a season of difficulty, sometimes people get locked into that season, or locked into that trial, or they get locked into that place and they can't get out of it. And it seems like it's reciprocal, or it seems like it's cyclical. It just keeps coming around, and it seems like there's no let up. There's no breaking through. God doesn't send seasons like that for you to remain in them forever. He doesn't send them for you to have an extended stay in dark seasons. It's not God's intention to always leave you in a dark season because He's a mean God. That's not how God is. God don't want you to stay in an extended stay in a dark season. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can dislodge that season in your life. You can unhinge that thing and break through that thing if you'll just expect God and believe God and trust God and just accept the season that you're in and take it on and say, God, whatever you're trying to show me in this season, I'm willing to accept, I'm willing to walk through, and I will praise you at the end of it just like I did at the beginning. And God will work in you what needs to be worked in you. Now, spiritual seasons, unlike calendar seasons, are governed by what is produced in that season. In other words, sometimes you have to stay in that season until it produces in you what God wants to produce in you in that season. What I've learned is that frustration can come when you're in a season too long. And we think at times we can outlast God, right? In other words, we think, God, I know what you're trying to do to me in this season, but I'm not going to change. I'm just going to bow up and push back. Here I'm here to tell you that you can't outlast God. God will keep you in that place and in that season until you get the picture of what God is trying to build in you and work out of you and bring out of you. You'll remain there until God finishes the work that He's doing in that season in your life. So we have to embrace that. We have to say, God, whatever you're doing, I don't want to be an extended season in my life. But that season is there for a reason. A lot of times we're left in the season because we're in a season because, and it has this effect on us until it has a desired effect on us. Now, we get locked in seasons in our life. I mean, we have single people say, well, I'm tired of being single. I'm tired of being single. I don't want to be single anymore. Well, until God builds into you what He's trying to work in you as a single person, why would He bring somebody into your life that you could just mess up when you don't get the message when you're single? Amen. Right? How many times many times over the years I've married people that thought the person that they were marrying was the answer to all their problems. And the truth is, God's the answer to all their problems. It's not the person that they're marrying. And then when they realize that, they don't want to be married anymore because they think that's the answer to their problems. But the truth is, God will keep you in a particular season until you realize why you're there and how He works. It's funny to me how all the single people would say, you know, I just wish I could be married. Then I'd be happy. And all the married people are like, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then all the married people will be like, if I was just single again, huh? Right? Not everybody, but some. If I could just be single again, then I'll be happy. And then some married people say, well, if I just had kids, I'd be happy. I'd be all right. Right? That'd be fulfilling to me. And then all the people that had kids say, Lord, if I didn't have these kids. Right? If you don't like the season you're in, if you don't like where God has you, you need to ask God, God, what are you teaching me while I'm here? Help me to learn so I can get through this thing and move on to what you have next for me so that I don't have to stay here until I get through it all. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am this morning. God wants to lead you. He wants to lead you. Seems like that whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're walking through in that season, or whatever we're believing God for in that season, sometimes it's how we respond in that season. You know, it's funny because we'll be going through something and God will put somebody in our lives or across our path who has what we're praying for. Come on, right? They got what you've been praying for, and how we respond in that will tell a lot of how long we stay where we are. People don't mean to do it, but we'll see people flourishing in areas that we're struggling in, and they'll come around us and they'll be like, I'm blessed. God has blessed me. God has did this, and God has promised me this, and I've got this, and I've been through this. I wake up every day and God's giving me this, God, and you're like, you're holding it. You're going, my Lord, God, where's mine? You haven't answered my prayer, but you answered their prayer. Huh? Am I the only, listen, y'all, don't act like you ain't been through that though. Why don't I have a 15-hour job? Why don't I have this? Why, God, why? And then they'd be talking blessed, and God's blessed me, and I've seen an angel, and the Lord talked to me, and I went outside, and there was keys to a new car in my yard, and you'd be like, oh, why does that not happen to me? Huh? You get in that place, and you get into that place, and how we respond to that a lot of times determine how long we stay in that season. Because if you can't rejoice for somebody else, if you can't rejoice for what God does in someone else, if you can't be happy for the blessing of God on those whom you go to church with and those who are around, if you can't rejoice then, how are you going to rejoice when God does do it for you? Huh? Maybe the reason God has held it back, because you would not appreciate it if he gave it to you. So you've got to be able to rejoice no matter what the circumstance is or whatever season that you're in. If you'll let God teach you and if you'll live with expectation, there'll be a time when you will see the miracle of God work on your behalf. You'll see a breakthrough in your life. And there are seasons that God will take you through. And there'll be opportunities in that season that God will give you to step through an open door or to break out of that thing. John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible said that there was time, there was a season when the angel of the Lord would come down and stir the water at the pool of Bethesda. It was a season. In other words, it was an opportune time for somebody to get in and to get healed. And there's seasons in our life when God's trying to work something in our lives. And God will bring you to the place to where he'll begin to stir the waters. But if you're not ready and you've not learned what God's been trying to teach you, you'll miss it and you won't get it. I don't ever want to live in a prolonged season in my life. I don't ever want to live in that place that's prolonged. There's something possible that God can do. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap when? In due season. Now get this, hang on to this. That's right. That's right. Come on, preach it. I'm going to give you the mic. We shall reap if we faint not. In other words, we get weary in well-doing. Some translations say that we get faint in well-doing, for we will reap in due season, and we shall reap if we faint not. My life scripture is Psalms 126, 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing,
bearing his sheaves with him as he comes. In other words, there is a time for sowing in our lives. So what do you do when you're in the midst of darkness? Not only do you have expectation, not only do you understand that you're in a season, but while you're in a season of darkness, you have to continue to sow. You have to continue to give to God. You have to continue. I don't mean money-wise. I mean you got to continue to praise him. Continue to serve him. Continue to stay faithful. Continue to read the word. Continue to pray. Continue to remain steadfast until your miracle gets there. That's right. Amen. But what happens? What happens is we get in that season, we get mad at God. And we stop praying. And we stop worshiping. And we stop trusting God. We stop giving. We stop sowing. We stop going to church. We stop reading the word. Like that's going to change God. Huh? I'm mad at God. I'll show him. I'll stop praying. Well, that's all right, sweetheart. Just go ahead. You'll just continue to be on that merry-go-round all your life. And you'll wake up one day and say, why can't I get through this season? I'll tell you why. Because when you were going through it, you never learned the principle of sowing in the midst of the season. And if you'll sow, the Bible says, in due season, at the right time, God will show up on your behalf and there will be breakthrough and a miracle that'll come your way. Amen. Hallelujah! That's breakthrough. So how does that translate? I'll tell you how it translates. That means that the hotter it gets, the more worshiping I become. The hotter it gets, the more servanthood I do. The more difficult it gets, the more I do for God. Nothing's going to steal my worship and steal my praise. Oh, hell may be breaking loose around you. And everything could be falling apart. And you could be in a season that's the worst season of your life. And the devil can take a lot of things from you, right? But let me tell you something he can't take. He can't take those things which are eternal. He can't take his word out of your heart. He can't take the praise out of your mouth. He can't take what's been put in you and pull it out of you. He can't steal what God has already done in you, right? So you just might as well go ahead and praise God in the midst of it anyway. Huh? My business is failing. That's all right. You know what I'd do? I'd give more. I'd show the devil. I'd double what I give. Oh, you say, well, that don't make sense. That's because we don't live. God does not work on our economy. God does not work in the natural. He moves by faith. It's faith that moves God. If I was going through a bad season, I'd be at church every time the doors open. I'd be there kicking them in on Monday. I'd be there kicking it in on Tuesday. I'd be there kicking it in on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And I'd get around this altar. And I'd hug these plants. And I'd say, God, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'd find somebody, Gene, that has broke through. That has gone through what I've gone through. And I'd say, hey, you come here, come here, come here. Get over here. Pray for me until I break through. But instead, we cower down. Woe's me. Woe's me. I ain't going to make it. Oh, I'm faint. I just ain't got no more breath. You know what? That's why we got people that have been in the church 30 and 40 years and never matured. Because they've never learned how to persevere through difficulty. They never knew what it like to get a hold of the horns of the altar when times were bad. Listen, it's easy to praise when things are good. It's easy to give God glory when things are working out your way. But let me tell you, it takes somebody that has something down inside them that are willing to stand when everything around them has been taken. And if you don't think God don't see that, just ask Job. Huh? That crazy wife of his, let's just curse God and die, she said. I had somebody tell me this week, you know, nobody ever thinks about Job's wife. What she must have been going through. Well, you didn't have to worry about her. You got her attitude right off the bat. She was temporary. As long as she had her children and Job's riches and all the sheep and all the cattle, she was happy. But once it was gone, it was Job's fault. It was God's fault. It was everybody else's fault but hers. Job said, "Sweetheart, I love you. You go sit on the couch and watch Dr. Phil and eat popcorn and drink soda pop. I'm heading down to the church house. I'm going to figure this thing out, and I'm breaking through this situation." Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. If you were Pentecostal, you'd be shouting right now. Ready to come out of my shoes this morning. Why? You know why I'm passionate about this? Because I know exactly what this is. I know exactly what it is to walk through seasons of darkness and not get the message. Yeah. I know what it's like to walk through there and God hit my knucklehead and my sawdust head sometimes and not get it. And I have to go around the same mountain time and time again and drag everybody with me that's attached to me. Until one day the light went on. And I realized it didn't matter what situation it was in. Didn't matter where I was or where I ended up. I just had to have this expectancy in my life. Amen. I just had to expect it. Listen, can I tell you, this is not just a book with just ink on it. That's right. It's more than that. Yeah. It's living and alive. Yeah. This thing's got some answers, sweetheart. And if you'll trust it, it'll take you further than you ever want to go. This is, what is it? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And darkness and hell could be all around me, and I just take the flashlight of the Word of God and shine it all through. I know the religious folk have a hard time believing that God deals in the affairs of men today. Well, what about, you know, how do we know God created in 7 days? Well, was there really an ark? Did Noah, did Lot's wife really become salt? Huh? Let me tell you, some people, God himself could show up, sit down on their front porch, drink iced sweet tea, sing hymns, go through the Word of God with them, show them their nailed, scarred hands, and they'd look at him and say, "Well, I need a little bit more proof before I'll just trust you." Let me tell you what proof I needed. Let me tell you the proof that I needed. When I walked an aisle 27 years ago, and God took this wretched young man and changed his life. And he just didn't leave me like I was. He filled me with his Holy Ghost as a promise that he'd walk with me and be with me and be beside me, and that there's nothing that somebody on the outside can do to ever change my mind. I'm not mad. I'm happy. This is how I get happy. I'm telling y'all, give me a bunch of unbelievers. Fill me a congregation with a bunch of unbelievers. And just preach something like this. Watch the light come on. Watch the power of God change them and ignite them. I see the Holy Ghost is like the gas man this morning. He's down by your pilot light, and some of you, he's been trying to strike that pilot for a long time. your hot water tank has gone out. Huh? Maybe you're like my father-in-law. Years ago, he walked into this house. He's working as a gas man for the city of Columbus. He walked down into one of them old cellar basements. Y'all know them cellar basements, them storm basements? I used to be scared of them things. My grandmother said she'd go and put me down there if I didn't behave. She'd go open the door, and I'd be like, I'd straighten right up. Because I knew there was something down there that ate little boys. My father-in-law went down into this basement, the crawl space under this house. Walked in there, and he tried to light the pilot light on this thing. He's hitting that thing. And them old pilot, y'all remember them, they'd have these big screens where the exhaust and stuff were. He couldn't figure out why that thing wasn't light. He lit that fire got on there, and that pilot light didn't lit, but all of a sudden, shoo, a copperhead snake hit the screen of that pilot thing. He said, "Forget this, baby. I'm out of here. You don't need me. You need Wild Man. You need Duck Commander to come down there and clean all that up." Let me tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost has been doing to some of you all. He can't get close because the devil has wrapped himself around your pilot light and will not let God get close. Woo! In due season. Here's the problem with staying in a season, a tough season too long. If you stay in a tough season too long, you risk fainting. The word fainting here in Galatians and in the Old Testament, it means to dissolve. It means to be dissolved. It means to loose, to let go of something. The Hebrew meaning is even stronger than that. It means divorce. It means the letting go of a covenant. See, what happens when you walk in darkness and you begin to faint, when you stay in a season too long and you don't allow God to do the work that He wants to do in your life, what begins to happen is you become faint and you get weary. And when you become weary, what begins to happen is you begin to let go. And it's like a divorce. It's like a letting go of covenant. It's like a letting go of the covenant with God and letting go. And you become faint and you become weary. And all of a sudden you lose the energy. See, we live in a world where people don't know how to matriculate. They don't know how to move from one season or one season of their life into another. We're raising a generation that don't know how to translate into adulthood or into other seasons of their life. How many know you can't be a teenager all your life, right? How many know you can't stay a teenager all your life? We love you, but you can't be 50 and acting 14. Huh? You got to matriculate. You got to move into a new season. You got to grow up a little bit. You got to move in. How many of you have ever seen people that are older try to recapture their young years? Huh? Try to act like they were when they were 20 and they 50. Sweetheart, them jeans don't fit no more. Why are you trying to put them on and head back to the club? Huh? Why are you trying to tuck that thing under that thing? You ain't wore that thing in 25 years, but you're trying to stuff that thing up so good so that you can get back into what you used to. They're trying to recapture what they used to be. And a lot of times we get stuck in seasons trying to recapture what we used to be instead of going on to what God has for us. Let's just mature into the next season that God has for us. Stop trying to live in a season that God has not ordained for you to live in. That's good preaching, preacher. Hey, there's some benefits to getting older. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you'd be like my grandparents. My grandparents could say anything and get away with it. Right? I mean, old folks can say anything and get away with it. You don't have to have tact as an old person. Right? I mean, that's the benefit of it. You don't even have to be related to them and they can come say anything they want to. You gonna let your wife wear that? Lord, back in my day, we didn't wear that. Hey, is that your kid? Is that your kid? You need to whoop that boy. Whoop that young man. They correct your kids and they correct you. I can't wait till I get and be able to do that. Huh? And you get to the point where you just say, oh, well, that's just Phyllis. She's just going to say whatever she thinks. Oh, honey, what'd you do to your hair? I liked it when you had it in a bun. Why you want to bring that thing down and put all that color? Oh, Lord, dear girl. Get you some help. Right? Why her knee socks are falling down to her ankles. She's giving you advice on fashion. Huh? Her knee socks have rolled down to her things, and she's talking about your hair. Huh? See, when you get older, the good thing about being older that you wear clothes not for fashion, you wear them for comfort. Huh? Come on. All my older saints, say amen to that, right? See, you don't wear button-ups anymore. You wear elastic, right? Because you're going to lunch at church, you got to have room in them babies. Huh? Come on now. You wear them big old clod-looking shoes. They got like 5 inches of cushion in it. You look like you're walking on moon with them things. But they comfort. You're not worried about fashion. Right? You built for comfort. You just want some relief. That's all you care about is relief. But there's nothing worse than somebody trying to live in a season that they're not created to live in and trying to be something they're not and trying to produce something in a season God did not put them in that season to produce. And the truth is, until you get it where God has you, you won't move on to anything else. You won't move on to the next season. We'll see you here and here the next time this year, next time, same place, same time. Just like Andy Griffith's show, 4:30 on the afternoon, every Monday you'll see Andy Griffith. Same time. Been that way for 50 years. And you ain't changing Andy. And he doesn't get older. Seasons that God. Now here's the, you ready? You ready for the punch? You ready for the punchline? I'm going to try. David said it like this. Or Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 27:13. I would have fainted, except I determined to believe. And I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Turn with me to Genesis 25 real quick. I'm hurrying. Give me 5 more minutes and then we're gonna go do what God's told me to do this morning. We're going to have fun in a couple minutes. Get ready. Get ready. We're going to have fun. Genesis chapter 25. I want you to see something. Let me show you what happens when people are in seasons. When they get in seasons, they get in haste. When they're not willing to go through and let God work in their life, then all of a sudden they get angst and they get in haste. And they don't allow God to work. So they get outside the will of God, and they make their own things happen. I'm the only one. Whew. Genesis 25, verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Right? Esau was weary. Jacob cooked a stew. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob is cooking a stew, and in comes Esau. Esau been out in the field. He been out hunting. He been out doing. He wasn't going to take the time to cook his own stew. He was going to get some stew from Jacob. He was in a weary place. He was weary. He was at a place to where he was almost faint, to where he didn't have the energy to do for himself. And he comes in and he says, but Jacob said to him, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Wow. And then he says this. Then Jacob said, swear to me, as of this day, So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Sell me this day your birthright. This is what happens when you become faint in the season that God has for you. What happens is you end up selling your future for a bowl of beans. When you get faint in the season that God has for you, you will sell out to something that is less than what God has for your life. And the truth is this morning, there are people who have married people that they should have never married because they could not stand and they became faint and they sold themselves out for something less than what God had for them. They step into seasons because they don't wait on God to open the door. They'll settle for something that is less than what God has for them, and they'll sell it out because they're faint and they don't want to remain in the season to get to the place to where God does the work. They just go ahead and help God out. And what happens is we give life to things in our life that come back to destroy us. They come back in our life. They become hindrances to our life. We don't wait on God. We don't trust God. We give up on things too quick. We give up on our marriages. We give up on people. We give up on things that God wants us to remain steadfast in. And what happens is we give birth to things that come back to get us if we only would have stayed faithful and would have remained in the season. And would have remained trusted God. The Bible says people faint because people perish because they have no vision. Without no vision, you'll perish. Without no vision, your life will be cheap. Without no vision, you'll run with anybody. Without vision, you'll eat anything. Without vision, your tomorrow, it doesn't matter what your tomorrow is. Without no vision, you'll listen to the wrong people. Without vision, you'll hang around the wrong folks. Without vision, you'll fall for anything. Without vision, you'll be sucked in to something that God did not design for your life. But if you'll be, the Bible says, I will wait upon the Lord. I will be like the eagle. And he will renew my strength. And I will run and not be weary. And I will walk and not faint. I've come here to tell you this morning, to let you know that it's not your time to faint. That it's your time to gain strength. And what God wants to do for you this morning is to give you a second wind. And to let God put some wind behind the sail in which you're headed. So that you won't faint where you're going. Why? Why is that? Why doesn't God want you to sell the promises that he has for you for a bowl of beans? You know why? Because if you will reap in due season, if you don't faint, you'll wait. If you'll just trust God in that season, if you'll walk, if you'll pray, if you'll just remain to where God, so that God can bring you out of something and move you into a place to where he has his best for you. See, when you walk through the darkness, you have to expect. When you walk through the darkness, you have to understand there's seasons. And if you understand the seasons, if you'll let God do what he wants to do in those seasons, he'll bring you through it. And maybe you're here this morning and you're faint and you're weary and you're ready to give up. I'm telling you, God can renew you this morning. He can change it all this morning. Fellas, if you'd come, if you all stand with me this morning, it feels good in here this morning. I believe some people are going to get some strength back this morning. I believe people are going to get back vision for their life again. I believe God's going to take you off of that carousel, that secular cycle that's in your life. You're going to learn what you need to learn in the season that you're in so God can move you forward. You say, well, Pastor, I've settled for stuff that I should never have settled for. I've settled for things in my life, friends, and things like that, and I know you've got better for me than what I've settled for. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to settle anymore. You can wait on God. And in due season, you shall reap. But while you're in that season, you need to sow. While you're in that season, you need to expect. While you're in that season, you need to embrace the season that you're in and let God help you get through that season.